The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I have prayed and I believe that God is working in my behalf right now. And not only will that help the answer come through, but here's a really good benefit. You stay happy and excited in the meantime.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
You ever just ask, what's the deal? I'm praying, but I'm really not seeing the answer. Well, prayer is basically talking to God. Simple, yet powerful. And the enemy tries to mess it up in several ways. Check out this question. This is from Donald in New York. I feel my prayers are not being answered. How do I combat that feeling? Well, Donald, you are not alone, and Joyce has great advice on how to deal with those feelings of doubt and what you should do while you're waiting for that answer to prayer. But first, sometimes you just can't wait for an answer. So today's Help Me is something that we've maybe all asked. This is a question, Joyce, that I know you'll have a great answer for, and many people have felt this way at one time or another. Why do I think when bad things happen to me, even something as simple as stubbing my toe, that God is punishing me or warning me that I'm doing something wrong?
Well, first of all, thoughts like that come straight from the devil. They're not from God. Hmm. So why do you think that? I mean, the enemy is going to put all kinds of thoughts in our head if we're willing to think them. He can destroy our whole life with wrong thinking. And so, now sometimes he has an inroad with those kinds of lies because of things that have happened to us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe she had a parent that, you know, she got in trouble a lot.
Right.
And they punished her every time she did something wrong. And a lot of times, too, people just don't know God. That, you know, as a matter of fact, I know somebody who has a problem with this very thing. Doesn't anymore, because thankfully she has been healed from it.
Yeah.
But she had a problem with it for a long, long time. And she would tell you right now, she doesn't even really know why she was that way. She said, I just had a misconception about God. I just thought that, you know. Now, she does have tendencies toward being a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes people who are like that,
right,
feel extra guilty and bad about everything that they do that's not perfect. But the whole point is, I think, instead of trying to figure out why you think something or why you feel something, is just to start not living so much by what you think and feel, but more by what the Word of God says. When we need help, we can ask God for wisdom, and He'll give it to us without reproach or fault finding. I love that in the Amplified Bible. So that means that He doesn't say, well, sure you're in trouble. Look at the dumb stuff you did. Or, well, I'll help you, but I want you to remember what you did to get yourself into this mess.
Or even, I can't believe you're asking that. You should know better.
So He never does that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not the nature of God. And I think that it is a big mistake to think that God is like any person on this earth, because He's not. He's of a whole different category of characteristics than many of the things that we have experienced. And so knowing God, really knowing Him, I love what the Apostle Paul said. And I mean, here's a guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and yet it's recorded in Philippians, my determined purpose is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. So we need to continue knowing God and His character. And the bottom line is, I was thinking about this morning when I was out doing my walk. You know, God is just good. And so we should expect good from Him. You know, that doesn't mean that He's not going to chastise us or that He's not going to deal with us about stuff. But He doesn't do that by making bad things happen to us.
Right.
He has other ways of dealing with us. And so just realize the devil's lying to you and start renewing your mind with the Word of God. You know, get enough scripture in you that when you hear one of those lies or you sense you're starting to feel that way again, that you can actually quote scripture out loud out of your own mouth, and that'll run the enemy off.
Good. Very helpful. Really two things there. It's changing the way that she thinks and realizing who God is.
Right.
That God's not out there looking for little ways to punish us to keep
exactly.
us in line all the time.
That's right.
Well, if you have a question, whether you need an answer right now or maybe you can be a little bit more patient, we love to answer those. Use social media. Don't forget hashtag AskJoyce. We are always on the lookout for those questions. Also on our Joyce Meyer Ministries website, go to the Everyday Answers page and you can ask one there. Going back to that original question that we told you we would be answering today, why is my prayer not being answered? We can all relate to that in one way or another. And part of my job here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is that I get to travel around the world and share the stories of what Christ is doing through Hand of Hope, which is our outreach here at Joyce Meyer Ministries. It's such a blessing, but I've also seen some pretty rough stuff doing that. And I have definitely asked that question many times. God, why aren't you answering these prayers? Why are people still suffering? I remember one time in particular, we were very excited to go back to Ethiopia just to see what God was doing there. And there was a little girl in particular that we had all grown very close to. Her name was Ababa. And right before we got there, we learned that she had passed away. And we were all just struck. We were so sad. We were devastated. And that instant question that rises up is, God, we prayed for her. We know how much you love her. What happened? But what we found when we got there was that God was working in amazing ways in people's lives. We saw Ababa's mom with another little girl, Ababa's sister, and there was still so much work to be done. We don't give up praying. We don't understand what happens in the world. We don't have all the answers. But sometimes God just wants us to realize that His love is overwhelming and His plan is so much bigger than we realize. Doesn't mean life isn't hard. In fact, do you know there was even a time that Christ prayed a prayer that some people may have seen as not being answered. Before He went to the cross, He said, "If it's your will, Lord, take this cup from me." And that's not what God did. Of course, Christ didn't want to have to suffer the way that He did. But God's plan was for Christ to be magnified and for all people to be able to come to Him. So you could look at that as Christ not getting the answer that He wanted, but that's not what happened, because what He said was, "If it's your will." And what Jesus wanted more than anything was for God's will to be done in the world. And He was willing to do anything for it. We need to be willing for anything that needs to happen in our lives to bring God glory. It's not easy, but it means that God is always there answering every single prayer. So one of the best things I learned to do was to keep praying, to keep doing good, to keep working for other people. No matter what we see, God's plan is good. And if you'd like to join us, we would love to have you. Go to joycemeyer.org/handofhope to find out more about what's happening around the world. So now, let's see what Joyce has to say about that question, why aren't my prayers working?
James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, which I think is probably most of us, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone, that includes you, liberally, that means way more than enough, and ungrudgingly, he doesn't resent helping us, he likes to do it, without reproach and fault finding. Well, I could sit and just look at this scripture for a long time. So when I come to God, even though maybe some of the messes in my life are of my own making, they came through my own lack of wisdom, I got myself in trouble, I didn't listen to God to start with, I didn't follow peace, I can still, even in the midst of that, I can go to God and ask Him to help me And he won't even reproach me, which means shame or blame. And he doesn't find fault with me. He just helps me. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't teach me and train me and correct me. But one of the examples that I've used many times is, if you have a child that has not done all their chores this week, but they're outside playing and the neighborhood bully gets after them, and you hear them screaming for help, you're not going to go check their list of chores to see if they got all their check marks. Otherwise, just too bad for them. I mean, if the door's not open, you may go through it to get outside to help your kid. Are you hearing me? Amen. And that doesn't mean that you won't correct them later about their chores. That doesn't mean that you might not even, you know, tell them they can't go outside for a day or something. But you will not refuse to help your children because they are not perfect and don't do everything exactly the way you want them to. So stop letting the devil steal from you by thinking that you dare not ask God to help you because you have not done everything that you should do. Just own it. Amen? Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Now, doubt leaves us midway between believing and not believing. And this says we're not to become people of two minds. And so the Bible talks about the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh. And I think we have to learn how to live by the mind of the Spirit, and that's really like what you sense down in here. So there are times when I can believe something with my heart, but the enemy is going to use my mind to try to steal my faith. Now, are you with me? So I am not going to stand here and tell you that I have some nifty message that I can give you a little three-point sermon on how you can never have doubt again. Because to be honest with you, doubt comes to all of us. And I've thought about this quite a bit, because I just really don't like to give people answers that I don't think will work. And so I've thought about this, because there's times when I have doubts. Sometimes when I'm up here preaching and maybe, you know, I'm not getting the right reaction I think I should, I'll hear the enemy say, this is not the right message. And while I'm preaching to you, I have to tell him to shut up. And I have to go back to my own heart of, yes, this is right. I prayed about this. I sought God about this. And I'm not going to stand up here and be double-minded. I mean, this is just kind of a cute little way to say it. I don't know if in reality it works like this, but I said, basically, here's what happens with double-mindedness. It's like you pray and you ask God for something. He hears the prayer. He sends an angel with the answer. But before the angel gets here, we begin to doubt. Then he has to go back. They gave up, Lord. Then we pray again. Try again. We give up. Like I said, I don't really know that I can back that up spiritually, but it is important that we believe all the way through to the manifestation. And I can pretty much promise you that doubt is going to come against your mind, but that's when you need to go back to the mind of the Spirit. And very often go back to Scripture. What does the Word say? You see, it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't really matter even what my circumstances are. The only thing that really matters is what does the Word say. This is what it means to walk by the Word. So what I want to strongly recommend is when you're standing in faith for something or you've asked God for something and it's just not happening. I mean, let's just say you're believing God for one of your children's salvation. And the more you pray, the worse they act. Well, you know, that's not really uncommon because what happens when you pray, and this may be something you've never thought of, when we pray for somebody else, God begins to deal with them. And I don't know about you, but I don't always act real pretty when God's dealing with me. And so it is very possible that when you start praying for somebody, they can act worse than they did. And then what the devil wants you to think is, well, that sure isn't working. But what you need to say, and I'm saying say because we need to use our mouth for right stuff. In a time like that, what you need to say, you can just take your doubts and head back to hell where you came from because it is God's will that all should be saved. I have prayed and I believe that God is working in my behalf right now. And not only will that help the answer come through, but here's a really good benefit. You stay happy and excited in the meantime. Everybody's excited when they're expecting a breakthrough at any moment. That's what it means to live with hope. A positive expectation that something good is about to happen any moment. Instead of waking up and saying, I dread today. We need to wake up and think, I can't hardly wait to see what God does today. Amen. Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt at all in his heart. Doesn't even really say that doubt won't come to your mind, but does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Now, we talked about this last night. I need to believe I've got it before I see it. Did you hear me? We need to believe we've got it before we see it. And boy, is that hard for people who are not accustomed to living like this. Well, how can you believe what you don't see? Well, because we have two lives. We've got a spiritual life and we've got a natural fleshly life. And the spiritual part of us cannot be seen. It operates in an unseen realm where there are unseen yet wonderful, amazing things happening. And when God suddenly does something in your life, that doesn't mean that that was when he started working on it. God is already working in your behalf. Second Corinthians 4:13. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. So what I'm saying is when doubt comes, open up your mouth and confess what you're believing, not the lie the devil is telling you. Just because a crook knocks on your door, that doesn't mean you have to let him in. Amen? And then here's another facet to doubt. If we know very much about God at all, to be honest, we rarely ever doubt that God can do something. But we doubt that he will do it for us. It's easier sometimes to tell somebody else what God's going to do for them and believe it for them than it is to believe it for ourselves. And that's because we look at all of our mistakes. And I'm not saying that we live sloppy lives and don't care about how we live and that, you know, God just brushes over everything. I'm not saying that at all.
God is merciful, but I'm talking about somebody whose heart is right toward God. And you know, I make mistakes. Matter of fact, I doubt that there's a day that goes by that I don't make mistakes. But I'll tell you the truth, and I'm sorry if this upsets you, but I am not focused on what's wrong with me. You know why? Because I wasted too many years of my life focused on what was wrong with me and just taking an inventory of every little thing that was wrong with me, and I gave that up. Because whatever I am in Christ, and whatever I'm not, I'm still in Christ. And if I do anything good, it's because He enabled me, and if I do anything bad, then He's the only one that can forgive me. And I want God's conviction. I want to know when I'm doing wrong things. I mean, I thank God when He shows me. Now, Joyce, you had a bad attitude in that situation. Oh, thank you, God. I do. I thank Him. Because I lived in darkness and ignorance for too many years, going around mistreating people and not even knowing I was doing it. But see, the only way you can thank God for showing you what's wrong with you is if you're not condemned by it. I said the only way you can thank God for showing you what's wrong with you is if you're not condemned by it. The next thing I want to talk to you about is your prayers won't get answered if you're praying out of God's will. We all start out in a relationship with God, gimme, 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 gimme. We think we found a secret power in our life now, a way to get everything that we want. But there does come a transition time in our walk with God, and it's probably different for different people. It may take 10 years, it may take 4 years, it might take 15 years, but sooner or later, you're going to begin to sense from God. Now, instead of telling me what you want every morning, how about just asking me what I want? I was anointed to do something. God spoke to me, and I didn't have a little vision. I had a big vision, and so when you have a big vision, it's very hard to get happy with little. But see, what I needed to do was hang on to my dream and vision, but also know each step of the way that I was right where God wanted me to be at that time, for a purpose that maybe I didn't understand, but still, God is always good. And He would never be late, and what He wanted to do would be done right on time.
This is very helpful for all of us. One of the things that I've done for a lot of years is journaling and writing down prayers as well as how they were answered, which means years later I can look back and see what God has done. And that is so helpful, so encouraging, especially in those times where maybe I'm waiting not so patiently and I just need something to hold on to. If you would like to try that, our offer today contains a journal. So it's a great place for you to start if you're not a journaler, or maybe it's time to get back into it if you've done it years ago. We also have this teaching, two teachings on CD or digital download called Prayers That Get Answered. This teaching from Joyce walks you through God's Word and tells you exactly what it says about prayer and the keys to those prayers that will really make a difference. And like I said, the Attend to My Words journal. It's very pretty and it's just so encouraging to have that. You've shared a lot of encouragement on our social media sites that are helpful to others, and we want to share some of those words here today. So here is your voice. Here are some great, plain old, encouraging statements from our social media channels. If you're ever discouraged, check these out. They're really helpful. David from London says, "If that door hadn't closed, a bigger door would have never opened. If those people hadn't done you wrong, you wouldn't have the experience that you needed for this new challenge. The whole time, God was directing your steps." Charlene says, "You are never alone. Remember the footprints in the sand when there was only one set, God was carrying you. God will never leave you on your own. Have faith." And one more here.
I prefer not to lean on my own understanding, but cast my burden at God. I'm enjoying my journey with Him. He is my strength. I try to share love of Christ through everything that I do. And like I said, if you need some encouragement, sometimes just those words of other people who have been where you are, that makes all the difference. So go to our social media channels here at Joyce Meyer Ministries and check it out. We do love hearing your voice, and your input on social media does help provide that much needed answer to so many people around the world. And our question to you this week that we want you to share with others is, what is the greatest answer God has given you through Joyce's teaching? So let us know what God has taught you, and share just a few examples. I think it'd be really fun to see. Go to our Facebook page, Twitter, hashtag EA, use Instagram, wherever you like. At our conference recently in Hampton, Virginia, we asked a few of you to share your greatest answer to prayer. Stay tuned, we'll share those with all of you very soon. But first, here's a glimpse at what's happening next week on Everyday Answers.
Just because my get up and go has got up and gone, that doesn't mean that I have to lay down with it. I have greater power than how I feel. I can actually say, I am going to get up off of this couch and I am going to do something with my life.
Answered prayers are always worth the wait. In fact, just today I read one of my friends on social media, and she said the only thing worse than waiting on prayer to be answered is wishing that you had. I thought, what a great statement. And as we say goodbye today, we pray that these statements will encourage you to continue to trust that God's answer and His timing is best.